So we've been doing a study, I don't know, since probably October, a topical study of our Lord Jesus Christ. And as we've been going through there, we've been explaining, you know, what the Bible says about our Lord, how he was God in the flesh, and going through there why he had to become man, his sacrifice, what his sacrifice did for us. We went through prophecy. There's so many prophecies that you can find in the scripture of our Lord. And we went through types, and we're talking about different types that you could see in the Old Testament, how it pointed to Jesus Christ. And lately, we've been into examples, how our Lord is the great example, and how he's the example for us. Now, we can't be like him, per se, as in he was God in the flesh, but the reality is he wants us, people should see our life, and what they see is, as Christians, they should see our Lord. There should be something different in your life and my life. That doesn't mean we're perfect, but there should be something different. And especially as we're living in this world, it's getting darker and darker and darker. I mean, we should stand out. Not to pat yourself on the back, not to pat myself on the back, but just live for the Lord. Amen? In Matthew chapter 4, so talking about examples, look here in starting at verse 1. Examples. We're going to see here is an example how our Lord handled temptation, right, when the devil came to them, and how we can learn from this scripture. So if you look here in Matthew chapter 4, starting at verse 1, then was Jesus led up of the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted of the devil. And when he had fasted 40 days and 40 nights, he was afterwards hungered. And when the tempter came to him, he said, if thou be the Son of God, command that these stones be made bread. But he answered and said, it is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. Then the devil taketh him up into the holy city, and setteth him on a pinnacle of the temple, and saith unto him, if thou be the Son of God, cast thyself down, for it is written, he shall give his angels charge concerning thee, and in their hands they shall bear thee up, lest at any time thou dash thy foot against a stone. Jesus said unto them, it is written again, thou shalt not tempt the Lord thy God. Again the devil taketh him up into exceeding high mountain, and showeth him all the kingdoms of the world, and the glory of them, and saith unto him, all these things will I give thee, if thou wilt fall down and worship me. Then saith Jesus unto him, get thee hence, Satan, for it is written, thou shalt worship the Lord thy God, in him only shalt thou serve. Then the devil leaveth him, and behold, angels came and ministered unto him. I think in one of the other Gospels it said for a little season, right? And that he surely came back. But if you look here at our Lord, here it was as the devil tempted him, and the truth of the matter is, the devil could come, demons, or even our flesh, because of sin, would get tempted. But look how our Lord handled this. What do you see in these verses that our Lord did three times when the devil did this to him? What did he reference to? What did he go to? Yes.
The word of God. Scripture.
What's that?
Scripture.
It is written. Now you think about this. Everything that Jesus said was the word of God. Everything that he said. Every single word that came out of Jesus' mouth was the very words of God. He is God. Amen? So you think about that. He's teaching us as believers, it is written. Folks, can I tell you, God has given us his word. This is a precious book. It is the words of God. It's different than any other book that's out there. It's truly the word of God. And he's telling us, here's what you need to use. Scriptures. Folks, can I tell you, you and I are blessed. I guarantee if I went into your house today and looked around, the chances are you probably have more than one Bible that's there. Hopefully it's King James, right? But you have more than one Bible. I probably have, I don't know how many Bibles. I probably have my first one I ever had. It was probably one of those, I don't know, maybe those $5 award Bible or something like that may have had, and other Bibles that are there I have. I mean, you think about it, I have probably, I don't know, about five or six King James Bible that are there. I have it on my phone where I can get onto my phone and read it. Have it on my computer where I can get on and read it. I mean, we have the very words of God. Do we spend time reading it? How much time do you take to go through and read the Bible? Do you know what the Bible says? Do you know what's in it? I mean, this is precious. I mean, the reality is this. Who here has never faced a trial yet? You mean you all face trials? John, I don't know about you. You're probably still waiting for your first one to come, right? But the reality is we all have faced trials. And how many times when you have faced trial, maybe you handled it in a way that wasn't what's according to Scripture, right? I think we would all agree there's probably times in our life we have, and there's probably times we still do, right? We shouldn't. But the reality is we should find out what the Bible says, right? It is written. And he tells us here, he says, it is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. Amen? Every word is important. You think about for us today, we think about the preservation of Scripture. Every word is important. That's why we have, as English-speaking people, the King James Bible. It's a blessing, amen? Every word that's here. So whenever you face things in life, go to the Scripture. What does the Bible say on that matter? When I was getting ready, after I was saved, I was in church. Do you know what I was praying and asked the Lord, I said, Lord, it would be a blessing to find a good wife. Amen? Well, a good lady that I could marry, right? And I prayed about that. You know what I did to find that? Not that. Amen. I'm going to get myself in trouble, Doris. Amen. Do you know how I found this wonderful lady over here, my wife? Do you know the first thing I did after praying? I went to the Bible. And I went through the Bible and looked in the Bible what the Bible says what a godly wife should be. I don't know if it's still in this one, but let me just see here. If I moved it over, just give me a second here. You probably can't see that, but you probably see some writing that's down there on the bottom, a little bit of blue writing that's down there. And that blue writing, I used Proverbs. And I said, a virtuous lady. I went through that study that's there, a virtuous lady. I went through all the things of a virtuous lady. And then over to the side of it, I put a woman to marry, a Christian, one to fear the Lord, a virtuous lady. Different verses that are here. I put an example of Ruth. I went through and looked through those scriptures. You know why? Because I wanted to make sure the lady that I married was one that was according to Scripture. And I found my wonderful wife. You know what happens when you don't do that study? See, my wife didn't do that study and she gets me. Amen. So that's what happened. I'm just teasing. Amen. But what I'm saying is this. God has given us His Word that we can know the truth. You want to know how to go to heaven? It's all in this book. You want to know how to have a wonderful marriage? It's in this book. You want to know how to raise your kids? It's in this book. You want to know how to handle temptation? It's all in this book. Look at the Bible says over here to the book of Ephesians. Ephesians chapter 6. Ephesians chapter 6. He is our example and he showed us. It is written. Look at the Bible says over here. Ephesians chapter 6. Ephesians chapter 6. Ephesians chapter 6. I think we're going to have to learn how to take that thermostat and turn it from heat to the AC here soon. Amen. So I thought, amen. I know Mark will be jumping up there, getting there. Amen. Ephesians chapter 6. Ephesians chapter 6. Look here at verse 16. It says, above all, taking the shield of faith. So let me step back. I'm sorry. Look at verse 10. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and the power of His might. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. Right? He's out there trying to trick us, the demons that are there. And then he gives us this armor. But look what he says in verse 16. Above all, taking the shield of faith, wherewith you shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked. Let me ask you, how many darts can you stop by faith? How many can you stop? All. How can you stop them all? By faith, right? So what's the faith in? Is the faith in yourself? No, it's in God. It's in His Word. Believing His Word, right? Folks, can I tell you, the devil loves to throw darts at you, right? And he'll just keep on throwing darts at you. And the truth of the matter is, you'll have that shield of faith, right? You know what God says, you believe Him, you hold Him at His word. He throws that dart and it hits the shield. But you know what happens is sometimes He sets you up. Now, before I got saved, I used to play baseball. It wasn't too good. I played college, but it wasn't too good. But you know, a lot of times what a pitcher, what we would do, we would set a batter up. What that means is sometimes when you're having someone, you would throw a pitch inside. And the reality is you're setting that batter up because the next pitch you're going to throw is outside, low and away, right? So it's preaching, it's not baseball, so I'm not going to get into that. If I tried to do a lineup, I'd probably fall over. I don't even know if I could probably throw a softball maybe now. But the reality is, don't be surprised that the devil does the same to you. That he throws a dart that's just real simple. And John thinks, oh, this is easy. Amen? He could just be setting you up. Hey, don't allow that shield of faith to go down. Amen? Believe God. Amen? Have that shield of faith. Believe His word. Amen? It is written. He gave us an example. Amen? And can I tell you, we need to make sure that we know this book. Look back here to the book of Mark. So we see the example of using the Word of God. There's other references I could go to. But look back here to Mark chapter 1. In Mark chapter 1, look here at verse 16. Mark chapter 1 and verse 16. Mark chapter 1 and verse 16. Now as he walked by the Sea of Galilee, he saw Simon and Andrew his brother casting a net into the sea, for they were fishers. Jesus said unto them, Come ye after me, and I will make you to become fishers of men. And straightway they forsook their nets and followed him. And when he had gone a little further hence, he saw James the son of Zebedee and John his brother, who also were in the ship mending their nets. And straightway he called them, and they left their father Zebedee in the ship with the hired servants and went after him. Now I want you to think about this. Was Simon and Peter? We know that they did accept the Lord as their Savior, but it was the Lord going for them, looking for them. Right? They were out fishing. Nothing against fishing. My dad loved fishing. Amen. My dad would go fishing, and he would go down to Chesapeake Bay, I think it is. He would go down to Chesapeake Bay. Sometimes he would go down and go fishing there, and he would take pictures of different fish. I never got into fishing. There's a few times I have gone. We're by water up here. I don't know. I just never got into fishing. Amen. The fish I like is probably McDonald's, which is, I don't know if it's real fish, but that's about it, right? So I just don't go fishing. Nothing against fishing. If you're good, praise the Lord for that. Amen. But here it is, our Lord went to them and says he was going to teach them to be fishers of men. Fishers of men. And what we know our Lord did, right? He trained them. He discipled them. They went out to be the first pastors, missionaries. They were used greatly to win people to Himself, our Lord Jesus Christ. But He discipled them. Do you know what God wants you and me to do as believers today? He wants us to go and reach people. Amen? Now let me ask you, how many people can you save? None. Amen. I can't save anyone. Amen. Now, I can plant a seed. I can water, but God gives the increase. What we need to do is do our part of going out and telling people. Look back, I guess forward, depends how you look at it. In Matthew chapter 28, as we refer to as the Great Commission. Look here in Matthew chapter 28. In Matthew 28 and verse 18, so this is considered the Great Commission. In Matthew 28 and verse 18, the Bible says, And Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, All power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and the Holy Ghost. One name, right? One God, right? Teaching them to observe all things whatsoever commanded you. And lo, I'm with you always, even unto the end of the world. Amen. This is the great commission that was given to the local church. And can I tell you, this is what God wants us to do. He wants us to go and reach people. He wants us to go and share the gospel with people. Now, sometimes it's hard. Sometimes I have found, sometimes for whatever reason, it's so hard to win family sometimes. And sometimes it may be easier to win strangers. But God still wants us to tell people. Are we trying to our best to tell people about Jesus Christ? Maybe you're in your mind, you're thinking, well, I don't like to be rejected. Well, let me ask you a question. Did every single people or every single person that Jesus witnessed to accept him? Not, right? So who do I think I am to believe that every single person I'm going to witness to, right? I have faith. I'm hoping they'll receive Christ. But don't be surprised when people reject you. That's what it is. It's not you. It's our Lord. Folks, but our job, what he wants us to do is share the gospel. Share the gospel. Tell people about Jesus Christ. I remember I was on, I got one of those, I don't know if you call it a spam call or whatever, telemarketer. I think that's what it is, telemarketer call. And I got a telemarketer call, and this guy called. I cannot remember what he called me about. I can't. And he started off at the beginning, and he was telling me something, and I was listening a little bit, and I was like, I don't know if I'm interested. And he's like, you know, sir, he says, I got to do so many for my job. I forget what how many was, 10 or so many an hour. He said, will you at least listen, forget what it was, 3-4 minutes to me. Will you at least do that? And I was sitting there thinking, I said, I'll make you a deal. I'll listen to you for whatever it was, 3, 4, 5 minutes, so that way you can get your one thing. As long as you promise afterwards, you won't hang up and listen to me. I thought it was a pretty good deal. He says, that sounds pretty good. I said, go ahead, what are you selling? So he went through and just told me whatever it was. I still can't remember to this day. He went through it, and then he asked me, he says, are you interested in it? And I said, no. I said, but I appreciate it. I said, now you ready to listen? He said, yeah, it was a deal. So I shared the gospel to him. Amen. And told him how to be saved. Do you know what that man told me? He said, whoa. He said, just the last call or a few calls before, he said, I just talked to some preacher. And he told me the exact same thing you did. And I said, sir, it's because Jesus loves you. He's trying to tell you, you know, that you're a sinner. You're on your way to hell and he wants to save you. Folks, what I'm saying is this. God sometimes will bring an opportunity even to your house. Now, if they asked you for your social security number, don't give them. Amen. If they're asking for your birth certificate, don't give them that information. Amen. But folks, what I tell you is, you have to realize there are people, yes, there's frauds out there, but there are others that are just trying to make a living. But what I'm saying is this, use opportunities for the Lord. I had a time where a spammer called me. And he called me, and I started to play around with him a little bit, and I pretended like I was dumb. Whew, praise the Lord, none of you agree. Like, well, preacher, you were. No. But I pretended like I was dumb and didn't understand. He says, I'm calling from wherever, and he was asking about my computer. And I said, computer? I said, what's that? He says, you know that computer. And he's like, a laptop. He says, don't you have a laptop? I said, a lap dog? He says, no, a laptop. I said, a lap dog? I don't have a lap dog. He says, a laptop. I said, oh, a computer. Why didn't you say that? You know, so I started to go with him a little bit. And I pretend like I was going along and had my computer screen up or whatever, talking to him. And he's like, I need you to give this information. And I said, before I do that, I got a question for you. I said, have you ever lied? He goes, no. I said, oh, no, we have a big problem. He says, why? I said, sir, the Bible says, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. I said, what? Something is wrong here. You're telling me you've never lied, and God says we're all sinners. So let me ask you again, have you ever lied? And he says, yes. I said, oh no. I said, now we got a bigger problem, because the Bible says, for the wages of sin is death. So I start to preach to him. Can I tell you, that man got so mad, got so convicted. He had some device that was on him that was muffling his voice that made him sound like something different. He threw off the heads off and said, hey, buddy, I'm just trying to make a living. And I said, hey, let me tell you, Jesus loves you. He got mad and hung up, and he never called me back. Folks, can I tell you, he may not have liked it, but I know one thing for sure. He heard that Jesus loved him. He heard that he's a sinner. Folks, what I'm saying is this. Look for opportunities. You may run into someone at a gas station. You may run into someone even at a hotel. Use those opportunities. What God wants us to do is to share the. And when someone gets saved, try to do your best. Bring them to church. Get them baptized. And then disciple them. Help them to grow in the Lord. Can I tell you one of the things I think as a church we don't do well? I'm telling you as a whole, as Bible-believing churches, we need to do a better job of discipling people. Get people into the Bible. Get them to read and help them. Teach them. Amen? Folks, can I tell you, we need people to grow in the Lord. We need to do our part. We need to do our part. You know, as a pastor, this may be hard for you to imagine. I can't do everything. I can't. I love teaching kids. I do. Amen? Different ministries, I love pastoring, but I love teaching kids. I love teaching little kids, and I love teaching, especially like, what would that be? 4th to 6th grade kids. Ah, kids are just great. I love teaching kids. And I remember a church I was at down in Waynesboro. We had a class of little kids, Debbie and I, and I would teach those boys and girls about Jesus, and they would get all excited. They would go home and get their friends and come in, and I mean, it was wonderful. You know, when I'm preaching, I can't say, folks, I need to go back and do junior church. I mean, there has to be someone that has a desire that says, you know what, I want these boys and girls to know about Jesus. They'll be willing to surrender. That people will say, yeah, I want to help out in Sunday school. I want to. Maybe you're not the best teacher. Maybe you could say, but I can help, right? Or maybe you say, hey, I can help in the nursery, whatever it would be. Can I tell you, use your talents, use your life for the Lord. Amen? Say, I want to get busy. Because if you're able to get involved and be able to do things in the church, you know what you can do? You can help people to get discipled, help people to grow. Folks, here it is that our Lord was teaching us, and he's telling us, amen? That's what we need to do. We need to be disciples, amen? Helping people to grow in the Lord. Look what the Bible says over here to the book of Matthew 26. So Matthew chapter 26. We see handling temptation and discipling. In Matthew chapter 26. In Matthew chapter 26, look down here, verse 47. In Matthew 26 and verse 47, and while he yet spake, lo, Judas, one of the 12, came, and with him a great multitude with swords and staves from the chief priests and elders of the people. Now he that betrayed him gave them a sign, saying, whomsoever I shall kiss, that same is he, hold him fast. And forthwith he came to Jesus and said, Hail, Master, and kissed him. Let me ask you before I read to you next verse. Was this before or after the Last Supper of our Lord? After. This was after, right?
I think so.
It was, yes. So this was after. And when you think about that Last Supper where our Lord was there, remember he went through and he washed the feet of his disciples. And one of the feet that he washed would have been Judas. And remember Peter was there, and Peter was bold. You know, some of us are bold more than others. And Peter was just a bold guy, right? And he was like, Lord, don't wash my feet, right? You should wash me all, right? And our Lord made it very clear in that statement when he responded. I can't remember the exact words, so I don't want to misquote it. But not all of them were saved. He gave Judas another chance. And then ultimately, he said, he talked about the one who would betray him. Did Jesus know that it was going to be Judas? Yes, right? He's God. He knows everything. So look what he says here in verse 50. And Jesus said unto him, "Friend, wherefore art thou come?" He knew it, right? He knew it. But he called him friend. Let me ask you, was Judas a friend of Jesus? No, right? He was an enemy. Even though he was one of the disciples that were there, but he was an enemy. Here he was, he betrayed him, he brought those people that were there. And look how our Lord treated him. Spoke to him, friend. Let me ask you, how do we handle those that may be our enemy? Maybe those that don't treat us well. Are we kind to them? Do we pray for them? I know I told you this example before. I was in a church one time. We had a business meeting. And I was one of the deacons that was in that church. And as we had a business meeting, our church went through our financials. And the financials, we were very tight at that time. And they were looking to buy brand new lawnmowers in the church. And the church, we really didn't have the money, right? They were looking at that time. I don't know what they were to cost at that time, probably $1,500. And today, who knows the price of new lawnmowers. But anyway, they asked, and I gave a recommendation at the time. I said, why don't we pray about it and ask the Lord to bring the finances in, but to get it, we just don't have the money. And everyone talked. We're all talking that's there. And everyone said, was in agreement. Well, I thought everyone was in agreement. So there was a motion that was made. Everyone accepted. Do you know when I left that church service that night after that, we had a Wednesday evening service. Preacher preached, Pastor Busick preached. And after he was done, we had the business meeting. And when I left, there was a gentleman that was standing by the door. And as I was walking up to that door that was there, I put out my hand to say, hey, have a good night, so-and-so. I'm not going to mention his name. And he looked at me, crossed his arms, and said, get out of here. He said, if you put your hand in front of me again, I'm going to knock you out. I was thinking, whoa, I'm in church. I was kind of floored. He was upset that we didn't buy lawnmowers. Well, at the church, I just figured, sometimes people, not everyone wakes up on the right side of the bed. So Sunday came, and at the church that we were at, we would go around and shake hands. So I went up to that person to shake their hands. You know what? And they went, huh? I was thinking, oh, no. So I wasn't trying to cause problems. So you know what I did? I started to pray about it. And I prayed and said, God, will you strike him? No. I prayed for him. I prayed, I said, Lord, I don't know what he's going through, but Lord, I prayed for him, right? Do you know the Lord blessed and gave that church two lawnmowers for free? It's amazing what God can do. Do you know it took a month of me going up to that person, every Sunday, putting my hand out, and I would still pray. You know what my flesh wanted to do? No, Brother Mike, I know you don't have this problem. But my flesh wanted to go, turn around, buddy. I want to kick you, But that was my flesh. And I just kept on saying, Lord, I'm going to pray for him. And pray for him. And what a blessing it was that Sunday, probably about a month later, I would go up and say, hey, how you doing, brother? And he put out his hand and shook it, right? Folks, can I tell you, now this is surely not the same comparison, because here is someone who betrayed our Lord, right? I'm a wicked old sinner. But what I'm saying is we're going to run into people that aren't going to be nice sometimes to us. We're going to run into people that will persecute us. We're going to run into people that will mock us. And the reality is what we need to do is we need to show them the love of Christ. I'm not talking about compromising God's word. I'm not talking about if there's a legal matter that you may have to deal with. I'm just talking about we should handle things in a manner that would please God. We are believers, and the reality is we should handle things in that way. Show kindness. Look at what the Bible says over here to the book of Romans. In Romans chapter 12. In Romans chapter 12, look here, starting at verse 17. In Romans chapter 12, verse 17. Recompense no man evil for evil. Provide things honest in the sight of all men. If it be possible, as much as lieth in you, live peaceably with all men. Dearly beloved, venge not yourselves, neither give place unto wrath. For it is written, vengeance is mine, I will repay, saith the Lord. Therefore, if thy enemy hunger, feed him. If he thirst, give him drink. For in so doing, thou shalt heap coals of fire on his head. Be not overcome of evil, but overcome evil with good. Can I tell you, there was some years back where Chick-fil-A did that. Remember, there were those that were protesting, and they would go to Chick-fil-A and they would protest because their stance on marriage. And here was, those people got all mad. You know what those Chick-fil-A places did? Or at least I remember one. They brought out those who were protesting food to them. Do you want something to eat? And they gave it to them. What an example. Amen? Folks, here it is. He's telling us, amen, how to handle this matters. Do you know what makes this so hard? Because I still have a sin nature. Amen? I still have this flesh. And folks, what we have to realize is we have to surrender, allow the Lord to work through us. Amen? Let me show you one more thing that's over here. Look over here to the book of Acts chapter 23. In Acts chapter 23, showing kindness. In Acts chapter 23. I can go to other examples that are in Scripture. Well, look here in Acts chapter 23. Here was Paul that was in prison. In Acts chapter 23, as he's in prison, look what the Bible says here in verse 10. Acts 23, verse 10. And there arose a great dissension. The priest, chief captain, fearing lest Paul should have been pulled in pieces of them, commanded the soldiers to go down and to take him by force from among them and bring him into the castle. The night following, the Lord stood and said, before I read that, do you know why Paul was in that castle? Why he was in trouble? Remember, he witnessed, right? He witnessed and those Jewish people rejected him. But you know, God warned him, the Holy Spirit warned him over and over again, don't go to Jerusalem. And he went. And what he hoped, I'm sure it was a good desire, he had the right desire. Just because you have a right desire does not mean that's the right decision to make, right? So anyway, he had that right desire and he was thinking, but maybe they will listen to him. But they didn't listen to him. And here it is. He's like, oh, I could just imagine Paul being like, what did I do? I'm assuming he was discouraged. You may say, why? Because look what the Lord says. Be of good cheer, Paul. For as thou hast testified to me in Jerusalem, so must thou bear witness also at Rome. Right? Cheer. He encouraged him. Paul did what he shouldn't have done. And here it was, Paul got the consequences of it. And our Lord came there, and the reality is, I figure in Paul's heart, he probably said, Lord, I'm sorry, I should have listened to you. And here the Lord encouraged him. And said, Paul, I'm not done with you. Remember when Peter, he was out, and he says, hey, I go a fishing.
And he went fishing, and there was others that went with him. And then ultimately, our Lord was there, and he told the guy, told him to bring the come and dine. Remember that song we sang? Come and dine. And as they were coming, you'll find that in the book of John. And as they came, he talked to Peter, and he said to him three times, I'm going to probably misquote it, but let me just, how about if I don't misquote it, because I don't want to do that. Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me more than these? Feed my lambs. Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me? Feed my sheep. Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me? He said him three times. Remember, Peter betrayed him, denied him three times, right? Denied him three times. And here it was, and Peter was grieved from it. And what happened? The Lord told him, he says, I'm not done with you. Can I tell you, there are some people, brothers and sisters in Christ, that have been discouraged. Maybe they made a bad decision, and now they're on the sideline. Can I tell you, it's easy to go up and probably kick someone. Don't do that, right? But we should try to encourage them, to get them back. Get them back in the house of God. To encourage them to get back to serving the Lord. That's what we see God did for Peter, what God did for Paul. And can I tell you, if you examine your life, I guarantee you God has done it for you. Folks, what we need to be is, we need to follow what God did, amen? His example. And let's be an example to this world. They were first called Christians. Because they looked at them and they said, they remind me of Christ. Allow that to be said of us. There's something different about Bible Baptist Church. They remind me of that, what was that? Yeah, remember Jesus Christ, that we've heard those stories? They remind me of Jesus. And when they come in, we don't point them to ourselves. We point them to Him. Amen? Because He's the one that can save. Amen? Do our best to try to tell people about the Lord this week. Let's close. Lord, I thank you for this opportunity to preach and teach. And Lord, I pray that through this study, Lord, as we look at the example that truly you are to us, help us to be allowing you to use us. Help us to be surrendered to you and allow you to work through us. Lord, we're going to fail. We're still wicked old sinners saved by grace. But help us to do our part. Help us to try to witness to people and bring them to you. I pray that you would give us safety as we travel home. I pray that you would continue to watch over us. Help us to be faithful. And I pray that you'd bless this upcoming service on Sunday and help Brother Brady with the messages that the people need to hear. And we ask it all in Jesus, your precious name. Amen.